Good morning, Virginia. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada, and this is Sunday, November 8th, 2020, less than 24 hours after President-elect Biden's first speech to the American people last night. And it now appears to be a virtual certainty that he will be the president. It's also clear that the Democrats have retained the House. We don't know what will be the situation with the Senate, but there is no doubt that this piece of news does have implications for Americans abroad generally and for those who are considering expatriation specifically. I have with me this morning Virginia Latorre-Jaeker, who, as you all know, is a U.S. tax lawyer based in Dubai, who is always a reliable, consistent, and great writer on these topics. And we're going to discuss what this means in terms of expatriation today. Good morning, Virginia. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm doing very well here in Dubai, and I hope that you are doing well in cold Canada.
Actually, it's a nice fall day in Canada. It's great weather, and I will be out for a nice walk in the foliage after this call. But I think that both of us are probably...
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear you've got some good weather there.
It's excellent weather. It's excellent weather. All right, so we're both living in the world of trying to help Americans abroad. We know that the appetite for expatriation, meaning renunciation for citizens and abandonment for green card holders, has been growing and growing and growing. Of course, right now, the U.S. consulates have, in most parts of the world, have shut down U.S. citizenship renunciations, which is a huge problem. But what I'd like to talk with you about today is, what does the Biden victory mean, as far as we can tell, for Americans abroad wishing to get rid of their U.S. citizenship? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's a number of ways the Biden proposal is going to really have an impact on people who are considering renouncing their U.S. citizenship. One of the tried and true methods for people to escape one of the pitfalls of being what's called a covered expatriate is to try and reduce their net worth below $2 million.
Okay, Virginia, they don't have any other point. Sorry to interject, but could you explain the way somebody can be a covered expatriate and what that means to be a covered expatriate?
Of course. So a covered expatriate is not a good thing to be, because various very harsh tax consequences will fall on that person who is a covered expatriate, and possibly if his family, if they are U.S. people. So let me explain very briefly what tax consequences happen to a covered expatriate. First of all, they will be hit with an exit tax. This is a tax that is a pretend sale of all of the assets the person owns in the world, and he's treated as if he's sold them, and he has to pay tax on the gain. So this exit tax is a price the person has to pay to basically divorce the United States. The other harsh tax effect is something called a transfer tax that's assessed on any U.S. recipient of a gift or a bequest, an inheritance, from the person who is a covered expatriate. So typically, the U.S. recipient would be a family member or a very close relative or friend who is receiving a large, you know, a gift or a bequest. And the transfer tax is assessed currently at a 40% rate. So to put that in perspective, if someone expatriated and he was a covered expatriate, and he left his child, who was a U.S. citizen, $1 million, the 40% tax rate is assessed on the $1 million bequest to the U.S. child, and the child has to pay over $400,000 to the IRS. So very harsh tax consequences if you are a covered expatriate. Not everyone who gives up citizenship or a long-term permanent residency is treated as a covered expatriate. You can be classified as a covered expatriate if you meet one of three tests. The first test is if you have a net worth of $2 million or more on the date of expatriation. The second test looks at the average income tax you have been paying to the IRS over the past 5 years. And if that exceeds a certain threshold, which is very high, it's well over $155,000, then you will also be treated as a covered expatriate. And the final test, and they're or, each test is or. It's not that you meet all three. If you meet any one, you will be a covered expatriate. The final test is that the person has not been able to certify under penalty of perjury that he's been fully tax compliant for the 5 years prior to expatriation. So you and I will be focusing on the $2 million net worth as the relevant test, because if the person doesn't have issues with the other two tests, but he has a net worth of $2 million or more, we try and reduce that person's net worth. Typically, this is done by gifting. So when the person makes a gift to a spouse or others, he doesn't want, of course, to pay gift tax, because that will kind of defeat part of what's going on here. And we do have a perfect opportunity to make gifts in a tax-free manner by using the so-called lifetime exemption amount that's available for gifts and made during life. And if not used during life, then you have that to offset estate tax that is currently owed upon death. So the current amount is, I think it's 11.4 million for 2020. And for 2021, it was is supposed to go up to 11.7 million, I believe, as indexed for inflation. What the Biden tax proposal is doing is saying, no, we are not going to have this very generous lifetime exemption amount. And his tax proposal, as enunciated, would reduce the lifetime exemption amount to the earlier law, which set it at $5 million as indexed for inflation. So I'm just going to guess if you index it for inflation, it'll be somewhere around $7 million US dollars as the exemption amount, assuming that President-elect Biden does what he has enunciated in his plans. We can also mention here that the lifetime exemption amount is scheduled in 2025 to revert to these pre-generous rules. So if Congress doesn't extend the current rule to give such a generous exemption, then it will revert anyway. But we don't know, you know, what Congress may do. But we do know that if President-elect Biden has his way, that law will be dropped back to the earlier threshold amounts. So this will make a huge difference for people that are thinking of expatriating. I mean, very seriously, they have to get their act together and get out this year, as I see it. But that makes it difficult, as you know, John, to use the exclusion amount and have it count. At least they can do it in 2020, make their gifts, and then get out in 2021. That would be, you know, the ideal scenario.
Okay. Now, you said a number of things that I just want to summarize. Okay. So the first is simply this, that assuming that the gift tax amount goes down to somewhere in the $5 million range or $6 million range, it's very, very clear that people can give away less money in order to avoid being a covered expatriate. That's the first point. Agreed? So at the moment, somebody who has up to, say, $13 million net worth could give away $11 million and presumably get below the $2 million. But what's happening is going to be that $13 million net worth would now become like $7 million, right? Because anything over $7 million, you can't give away enough. to get below the 2 million exclusion. Mm-hmm. So that's the basic problem here. Now, the second thing that you touch on is when the gifts are made relative to the renunciation. And I'm wondering if you could elaborate on that again. I think what you said was that you want them made in separate years. Is that correct?
That's correct. If you read the statutory language,
it's different from the expatriation.
That's right. The technical language of the statute regarding this lifetime exemption basically mandates that the lifetime exemption amount, you look at what that person has available to them at the end of the calendar year. So if someone expatriates, let's say in November of 2020, for the balance of the year after his expatriation date in November, he is now a non-resident alien individual. He is no longer a U.S. person. And if you look at the exemption amount available to a non-resident alien with regard to gifts, it's only about a $60,000 exemption amount. So people have to be extremely careful. I have known practitioners who have kind of disregarded that, but I have been very, very firm on this, that, you know, if people want certainty, they have to make their gifts and think they can use the exclusion amount, make their gifts in the tax, in the calendar year, and expatriate in the following calendar year, so that the gifts being made during the calendar year of the gifting transaction will be eligible for the full exclusion amount of 11.4 million or 5 million, whatever that number is right now.
Right. And that would also be subject, though, to any existing U.S. tax treaties that could impact the amount of that. For example, on the non-resident alien thing, the 60,000 is a huge problem, but there may be treaty provisions that would ameliorate that to some extent. Okay, so we've got, so the first part of the urgency is simply that the world is very, very likely to be changing. The world is likely to be changing in a way where it will be much more difficult to avoid being a covered expatriate. And that doesn't even include the problem of inflation and the up and down of U.S. exchange rates with other countries. For example, in Canada and Australia right now, the Canadian-Australian dollars are relatively low, meaning that you can have a higher net worth in Canadian and Australian before you're a covered expatriate than perhaps 8 or 9 years ago. So that's another factor. Right now, these exchange rates are very, very low. So we've got that problem in terms of how to think about it. Now, I could ask you to address your attention for a moment to, let's assume that somebody is a covered expatriate in a Biden tax world. What are some things we might have to look out for here? I mean, would it be the same exit tax? Would it be worse? How might the Biden tax proposals change?
Yes, it'll be far worse. The president-elect has proposed an increase in the top tax bracket of individuals for the income tax. So the current top rate is 37%, and he has proposed to bring it back up to 39.6% for high income earners. In addition, he's basically doing away with long-term capital gains rates and special rates for qualified dividends, which are taxed between 15 to 20% currently. He is saying, nope, we're going to get rid of that and let's take it up to the normal income tax rates, which can go as high under his proposal as 39.6%. So we are looking at someone who has to pay an exit tax, paying a lot more in tax dollars, because under the current rules, we have very favorable capital gains treatment rates. And when the exit tax is assessed, it's treated as if the individual has sold all of his assets, he would be entitled to capital gain rates, assuming he's held the assets for over 1 year. Long-term capital gain rates would apply, and that's very favorable. So doing away with this basically doubles the amount of exit tax, from what I can see, for individuals who are high income earners and have significant taxable income.
Okay, so where we are in summary then is, one, more people are going to be covered expatriates. Two, those who are covered expatriates are going to pay a higher, significantly higher exit tax than they do today, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's now consider, for those who don't want to expatriate, what are your thoughts on how the Biden tax proposals might affect the lives of Americans abroad who just say, I was born an American, I lived all my life as an American, and by God, I'm going to die as an American and a tax-compliant American at that. How might their world be different?
So you're talking about the American living overseas?
Yes.
Okay. One way that they will certainly be affected is if they have ownership of what's called a controlled foreign corporation and are responsible to pay something called GILTI tax, G-I-L-T-I, stands for Global Intangible Taxable Income. This came in, this is a new law, in 2017. And essentially, the GILTI tax will cause an income inclusion even though the shareholder has not received anything from the corporation in terms of a real payment. So it's a deemed amount of income that he has received and he has to pay tax on. The tax rate is calculated under, you know, a fairly complex formula, but if the business has depreciable assets, the tax rate will be, you know, very low and GILTI might not have any real impact on that individual. On the other hand, if the business does not have depreciable assets, for example, it's a service business, then the GILTI tax will be significant. This is particularly true if the business is not paying tax in the foreign jurisdiction or is paying tax at a low rate in the foreign jurisdiction. So we have the possibility of course, for these people to be hit with GILTI. And under Biden's tax proposal, he is essentially doubling the rate of tax on this so-called GILTI income. I believe he has proposed it to go up to 21%. Does that sound like the correct number?
That is.
Yeah, so this is very serious, especially for a lot of, for example, my clients in the UAE with UAE businesses. We don't have, you know, a tax being imposed by the UAE government on income earned by these companies. So the CFC owner here will really be hit with GILTI. And now that the tax will be doubling, it's you know, if it happens, will be a very serious problem for that business owner.
Okay, and if I could just add a couple things to that. This is an extremely serious problem because, as far as I can tell, what the Biden proposals would be, first would be to increase the GILTI tax from 10.5 to 21%, but the second would be to increase the U.S. corporate tax rate to 28%. And one wonders, you know, how could these things possibly affect Americans abroad? And the answer, without getting into too much detail, is that in the last couple of years, Treasury actually has interpreted Section 962 in the subpart F regime in ways that have been very, very helpful to Americans abroad. And basically, the combined effect of the doubling of the GILTI tax plus increasing the corporate tax rate to 28% will essentially nullify the help that Treasury gave to individual taxpayers and basically bring a lot more people back into the what I'll call the GILTI tax net. So this is, I think it's a sleeper. I haven't seen a lot of people talk about this, but it is a very, very significant problem looming.
Absolutely, because you're referring to the high tax kickout.
Yeah.
Am I right? Yes. Okay. Now, that is a complicated area. It's something to get into detail, but essentially what you're saying is people that could otherwise make an election that was being provided by the Treasury, which was very helpful to escape the guilty tax because they were paying a high amount, their companies were paying a high amount of tax in the foreign jurisdiction, will now lose that because the reference point for are you paying enough tax in the foreign jurisdiction was saying, are you paying basically the same, a certain 90% of what the highest.
The question is the foreign tax 90% of the 20 of the U.S. tax rate? So 90% of 21% is 18.9%. But if it goes up to 28%, yep. Now it has to be 90% of 28%, which is going to mean that a large number of people who could simply say, well, I'm already paying more than 18.9%, therefore I don't have guilty income. For a lot of those people, oops, all of a sudden it's guilty income again.
That's correct. Well, there you go. Let's see what's going to happen because that foreign tax rate now has to be about 25.2% for them to escape the guilty regime if they are using the high tax kick out. So yeah, it's going to impact a lot of people. And I haven't seen commentators noting that yet, but I'm sure it's going to come.
Well, it'll come. I mean, they're always a little, always a little bit behind on this. But, you know, just to be clear, a 25% corporate tax rate is not a, you know, it's a relatively high tax rate for corporations throughout the world.
That's correct.
It's going to be a gigantic problem for individuals. And I think that the case for Americans abroad who are entrepreneurs who are trying to run businesses through small business corporations, I think the case for expatriation has increased exponentially, or will. And they may want to consider getting ahead of the curve here. Let me ask you, we're coming to the end here, but I'd like to ask you a final question we might consider for another podcast is this. You know, we talk about the whole $2 million asset base. You know, how do we determine what assets are included? And it occurs to me that, you know, we've never really talked about the fact that that for people who live in community property jurisdictions, their asset composition might be calculated somewhat differently. Am I right on that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's a very scary prospect. A lot of people don't take that into account at all, but they should be, because depending on the specific rules of the community property jurisdiction in which they are domiciled, they could be treated as owning one half of whatever their spouse owns. Very tough problem, because they may think they don't have a $2 million net worth because their spouses own most of the assets, but if they have to take into account community property rules, then that may be a very different scenario, a very different number. I have a whole section on my...
Yeah, I should make that the topic of perhaps another podcast. But, that's a very serious problem. I mean, I think to put it, one of the things that I find as a general principle is that people really very often don't have a sense of what their assets are in relation to the net worth. In Canada, where, you know, which is my vantage point, mm-hmm. of course, people often forget that the value of their pensions need to be included. And, these values can be enormous, which can put people well over the $2 million mark. So I think the one thought that I think we might leave listeners with here is you may not in fact know what your net worth is. And, spend some time trying to figure that out.
Yes, and if you're in a community property jurisdiction, certainly you should go to my tax blog and look at the category I have, which specifically deals with community property, because I'm sure there's a lot to learn from my posts there. But it's a very scary proposition, John. Most people aren't aware of it. And sadly, a lot of practitioners don't ask the right questions, and they may not be aware in trying to figure out the person's net worth. They may not be aware of the community property rules, and they just disregard them, and the number they come up with will be completely wrong.
Well, this is, of course, possible. Interestingly, well, you know, my view is that the exit tax rules operate primarily to confiscate non-U.S. assets. And, you know, certainly the community property thing is a wonderful example of that, where basically should a U.S. person's spouse be married to a non-resident alien, the non-resident alien owns all the assets in a community property jurisdiction, the U.S. citizen tries to expatriate or expatriates and is a covered expatriate. I mean, just think of the confiscatory effect of this on non-U.S. assets. It's incredible, isn't it?
It's frightening, but that's why it pays to have a good tax advisor and to do proper planning beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, on that note, as always, we will be picking this up for sure, but thanks very much for sharing your thoughts on this early Sunday morning for me, and it's later in the day for you, I guess, in Dubai. And do you have any closing messages
yes,
for anyone?
Have dinner. So thank you so much for the interview, and I hope that the listeners have found it helpful.
Well, I'm sure they found it helpful. I hope they haven't found it too frightening, though. All right. This is John Richmond speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Oh, and Virginia, where do people find your website again? Could you?
Okay. Very simple. www.us-tax.org. And everything's right there. Go to the categories page and see all the various categories of topics that I write about. And I blog. I post a blog every week, so there's a lot of good information for your listeners.
All right. Thanks very much, Virginia. We will undoubtedly pick this up again.
All right. Look forward, John. You take care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.